Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 2. We've got real football to talk about, exciting stuff. Dave, have you slept in the last 4 days?
Not much. I think I've missed a few showers in there, too. So I'm locked up back here, but it's good to have football back, and it's worth not sleeping. I don't sleep anyway. I just wait.
Yeah. Exactly. That's beautiful. I got to say, I missed a few showers myself. I cleaned myself off at noon today. So back into the hygiene part of the world. We've got a ton of stuff to cover. So let's get right to it. This episode is going to be the Steeler roster episode because we're going to focus on what's going on. And the big news that came out right out of the chute, the Steelers re-signed Ike Taylor. Not really surprised on my end. What are your thoughts?
Really, you know, I felt good about it all along, you know. A little bit of a surprise, but, you know, I think they treated him a little bit like Ryan Clark last year. You know, called his bluff, so to speak. I mean, let's face it, Ike wanted to be back. The Steelers wanted him back. I think Ike sniffed the market out there. He told Jim Rome in an interview just the other day after it was announced that he was coming back that, you know, he wanted to come back to Pittsburgh. He's got a lot of friends up there. He knows how other players have left in the past, and all they do is talk about wanting to come back. I think it's pretty obvious. He left some money on the table there. He claims, you know, there's some teams were in the ballpark and all like that. But
do we know the exact terms?
No, I've worked on agent and one of his assistants and all like that, and they're refusing to give me the numbers until later on today when I think it's going to be officially announced the signing.
Gotcha.
So that's when we'll hear those more than likely. But I'm guessing 4 years, $30 million, somewhere around that area.
Right, that would come out to $7.5 million a year. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking he's probably getting $8 million a year. You and I talked about this multiple times here in the offseason, knowing that, you know, the Steelers wouldn't go north of $10 million. I'm going to guess, yeah, they come in around $8 million. I'll be shocked if it's much higher than that. Asamoah still on the market. He's going to set the bar, and with numbers being talked about for him are around 12 to 15.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think there's a battle for him right now, and you can't blame him. This guy is a revered shutdown corner. I just hope he does not end up with the Jets, you know. Rex Ryan's going to try to win games 3-0, I guess. So, but boy, what a nasty thing that could be if you have Revis on one side and Nnamdi on the other.
Well, the Steelers got their corner. They got the guy they wanted. Like you said, Ike is a very solid football player. 4-year deal is going to take him to the end of his career, the backside of his career. I don't really see Ike as a guy who will eventually move to safety at some point. He is what he is. We'll figure out who's going to play on the other side. But so much news to get to. A lot of it right after the Ike signing was offensive line focused. The Steelers, I guess my timeline screwed up with you because I don't know what's coming or going now. But the Steelers released two guys that took about $9.5 million off the cap number when they released Max Starks and Antoine Randall-El. Antoine Randall-El, you and I had mentioned multiple times as a guy who was really going to be lucky to make the roster here. I think we both got blindsided by Max Starks.
Yeah, I accepted it as a very minute possibility. I mean, let's be honest, this surprised me, you know. Maybe there's more to, you know, although he passed his physical, so reports say, and there's rumors out there he came to camp a little heavy, which is not out of the question after the guy probably limited in his recovery and all. But he had said in several interviews as well that he was back 100% cleared by the doctors and all like that. So, you know, I think they probably went to him and asked him maybe to take a pay cut. He maybe, you know, declined or whatnot, or it may have been a straight out dump all the way around. There are reports out there that they might sign him back. So the longer he goes unsigned right now that he's, which I guess he'll, you know, I guess he's already, the paperwork's already been filed on that. I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean, it could be today at 6 o'clock or whatnot, but it'd be fun to watch after that point. Supposedly, you know, there's rumors out there he's already reached out to
Russ Grimm,
and but the Cardinals on their end are kind of denying any, you know, interest in him right at this point. So we'll have to see where that goes. At this point right now, it would kind of shock me if he does come back. If he does, it's going to be at a very low number, you know, and between Randall L and Starks together, the cap savings, you know, probably about $7 million total as far as cap savings goes.
Yeah, I heard a very nice, I guess, soundbite from Art Rooney II, and said he and Max had a very nice conversation after the news was given to him. Everybody in the media has said what a class act Max Starks is, a good guy. That certainly leaves the door open. But as you said, you come back as the third tackle. I don't see him making more than $2 million, $2.5 million a year. And, you know, maybe there's more interest out there somewhere. I guess at the end of the day, I wouldn't be shocked if Max Starks doesn't play football again, but I got to think that somebody's going to make a run at him.
You would think so, or he comes, you know, crawling back, you know, and I don't know. Like I said, you know, and we'll get to the next two signings here in a moment, but you know, if he does come back at an even lower number, you have to ask yourself, well, is he the number one, or is he going to back up the left tackle spot? So, you know, it wasn't his best season for him last year, of course, mixed in with his injury and all like that. And Jonathan Scott, who filled in for him at left tackle, had a real, real rocky start. But I really saw some improvement in him from, you know, about 14 or 15 on through the playoffs and all.
Well, let's get right to that. The Steelers signed Willie Colon, a four-year, $29 million deal. Basically, that comes out to
that's a five-year deal.
Excuse me, right. It's five-year, $29 million, about $6 million a year. Colon is, what is he, 29 now?
Yeah, he's under 30 still, and his deal breaks down. I think I saw the bonus money of $6 million and a guaranteed of 1.5 this year, which would put his cap number around a 2.7 mark for this year.
Yeah, and that's a good friendly number for the Steelers. You know, here's what I'll say about Willie Colon. I know people loved him 2 years ago, and he graded out really well. I'll give Willie Colon huge props for being on the sideline every day of the year last year, being around the team. This is something we saw. We didn't see Lionel Sweet do this. We haven't seen some other young players do this when they've gotten injured. You know, Willie and Ben are close friends. He was in his wedding. He was involved in the whole Georgia incident. I don't doubt that played a part in his being re-signed. But he made an impression on me last year, being around the team and being on the sideline for every one of those games, cheering his teammates on, being involved. That's the kind of guy I want on my team.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And like you said, he's a good friend of Ben's. You know, you saw the writing on the wall. He supposedly had some people kicking his tires out there, and supposedly turned down an extra $3 million from the Bears to come back to Pittsburgh. So I think he'll be fine there. Like you mentioned 2 years ago, this guy was one of the top, you know, if you look at sites like Pro Football Focus and all like that, this guy was a top right tackle, especially in pass protection. Now his run blocking, you know, a little less to be desired. I think it can improve. I think a full year under Sean Coogler, offensive line coach, and his style, maybe he can correct some things, because you got to remember he tore his Achilles last year and really didn't get a lot of tutelage from Coogler. So I like the move. Bringing him back, it solidifies the right tackle spot.
And what are the numbers on Jonathan Scott?
We don't have the numbers on that. We just know it's a two-year deal right now. I'm guessing it's a two-year deal, probably totaling out maybe $1.5 million or $2 million, maybe a little bit more. I can't see it being a huge number on that.
Yep. You know, I think you and I were less down on Jonathan Scott last year than a lot of people, and I think it's some of which you pointed out. This guy stepped in at the left tackle spot, did a decent job for the second half of the year. And, you know, I know for those of you who are new to the podcast and haven't been with us for a season of actual football, Dave's insane, and beside that, he breaks down offensive line play every play for every guy. So not that he doesn't know everything about the Steelers, but if you want a go-to guy to talk about the offensive line, he is your man. And as you pointed out, you felt like he improved as the season went on.
Yeah, I thought it was noticeable too. You know, even in the Jets game where, you know, he had that play that resulted in a safety there, that was one of only just a few marks against him in that game. It was a big play in that game, mind you. But, you know, I saw some improvement, especially into the playoffs. And I tell you, in the Super Bowl, he graded out real good, in my opinion. I was real impressed the way he played against the Packers. So, you know, he's probably going to have some trouble still with some athletic defensive ends, the Suggs and stuff like that. So, you know, he might need some help on that side. But, you know, I the step down from Starks to him, if indeed Starks is not brought back and not tackle, I don't think it's too terribly off, to be honest with you. And it's one hell of a savings right now.
So going into the season opener in Baltimore, we expect our Steelers offensive line from left to right to look at like Jonathan Scott at left tackle, Chris Kimoatu at left guard, Pouncey at center. And we've got, you told me this morning that Ligurski and Foster are going to battle for that right guard spot, according to Kugler. And then we've got Willie Colon at right tackle.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Looking like Scott, Kimo, Pouncey, like you said, the Foster Ligurski thing came out this morning. And, you know, no reason to think why Colon wouldn't be the right tackle. I know there's some people speculating he could move to left maybe, but let's face it, that guy's made all of his starts at right tackle. So, and with the signing of Jonathan Scott, you would think left tackle there. This all could change. I mean, this is a fluid thing. And I also would like to point out that I think we're going to see one more person sign before it's all over. Now, will it be Starks or will it be another guy sort of like a Jonathan Scott, you know, lower level free agent, you know, kind of minimum salary guy? Very possible. So, you know, they might not be done just yet.
And then, you know, the two guys we have to mention, unlikely, excuse me, Dave, unlikely they're in the starting role this year. But people probably forget about Chris Scott, the Steelers' fifth-round pick last year. He was on the PUP list, I think, until week 8. Most people never got to see him because all he was doing was practicing with the Steelers. But apparently they're pretty favorable first reviews on him. And then, obviously, the second-round pick, Gilbert, out of Florida. Those two guys are going to be the backups.
Yeah, Chris Scott, you know, I was on Trib Live Radio this morning and told Ken Laird, you know, man, we just don't – I wish I could tell you more about him. I wish anybody could tell you more about him. But we just don't know. One thing that should be noticed, we're recording this at 3:18 Eastern time right now. Camp first practice has started. Now, a lot of these guys that got new deals, they can't practice yet. So the offensive line lining up left to right is going to be jumbled. You had Kyle Jolly start at left tackle. The rookie guard Keith Williams at left guard, because Kimoatu's on PUP to start with some knee swelling. Pouncey, of course, at center. Ramon Foster at right guard. And Chris Scott got the call for the right tackle spot to open things up. So maybe they view him as a right tackle type. This is the first really that we've known where he's kind of worked. So that's interesting info to where he opened up at.
Yep. Good stuff as always. Then the big elephant in the room, or no longer in the room, is Flozell Adams, and he got his walking papers today, which was interesting. It makes me wonder how clear this plan was to the Steelers, because Flozell, did the conditioning test yesterday. He was on the field, and then I guess either last night or this morning, as you said, I wouldn't want to be Turk going to ask him for his playbook, but he got the news. This doesn't surprise me, the $5 million number, but I'm a little surprised that they went a day of practice and then it happened.
Let me tell you why, and I've thought long and hard about this myself. For one thing, I think they were not sure what was going to happen with Colon first, so they were kind of in limbo there.
Very good point.
They were probably also there was probably some long negotiations with Jonathan Scott about the length of the deal possibly. So they had to, you know, they had to protect themselves by keeping them in camp. Here's another thing to think about. Was Flozell tapped out of practice, out of sprints yesterday, just in case they didn't want him to hurt himself you know, during that run or whatnot, then end up having to carry him as an injured player through camp and maybe even, you know, have some sort of injury settlement. So, you know, let him run up and down one or two times, work up a sweat, but he's kind of in limbo, so why push him and why injure him?
That's a very good thought. Very good thought. I like it. All right, let's move on a little bit here.
Let me add real quick, David. I have a soft spot in my heart for Flozell.
And oh, yeah, you and me both.
I think you do, too. I mean, this guy was not a Pro Bowl right tackle last year. He was saddled with having to move to left to right. The guy wasn't horrible last year. He provided some entertaining moments when on the field.
Yes, you got a GIF up on your site that's comedy.
Yeah, there's a couple of those I've got floating around out there. But the guy, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this about a former Cowboy. I will always remember this one season playing with Flozell. So hats off to him. I hate to see him go this way, but that's how you rent players sometimes, and that's what happened here, and he's out of here.
Yep, and it turns out to be a great signing. He is a unique guy. So along with the Max Starks news, the news came out about Randall L. We didn't really touch on that. It was going to be tough for him to make the team. They've got all these young guys. And, you know, this Plexico thing is still bubbling out there, and I have dismissed this thing completely. But if the guy has dinner with Mike Tomlin, I guess I'm dismissing it a little too much. What's the latest news, if any, on the situation with Plex and the Giants and the Steelers?
You know, it's getting legs. You know, it's getting legs. Rooney was on DVE, I think, yesterday morning, kind of saying, you know, not going to make no promises, but he's going to sit down with Tomlin, evidently, and see where he's at and all. Ben evidently has been in contact with him. I think I heard a report where Leftwich has been throwing with him a little bit. You know, I think they want him back, and you know, it might depend on the mentality where they think he's at, and of course, it's going to depend on the number. This, I think, is scheduled to take place on Saturday sometime. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. And the longer he stays unsigned, the more he plays into a cheaper contract, possibly with the Steelers. And let's face it, this guy might want to come back and win one more Super Bowl, and you know, maybe a 2-year deal. You know, about $6 or $7 million might be in the works.
The thing I don't see is I don't see where he is on the field. I mean, you put Hines in the slot. If you go 2 wide receiver set, it's going to be Hines and Wallace. So you go 3 wide receiver set, Hines goes in the slot. You go 4 wide receivers, Sanders is in the other slot. Antonio Brown now doesn't see the field at all. Lyman Sweet doesn't make the team. I don't see him, for $1 million, if he wants to be the third receiver, great. For 2 years and $7 million, I don't see it.
It certainly would shake up the roster. It makes me even wonder even more, even though Emmanuel Sanders was not placed on PUP. I really liked what Emmanuel Sanders did last year. I thought he grew up real quick. I loved his blocking. He's right up there with Hines, close to Hines as far as blocking ability, some of those blocks he made. Like you said, you're not going to bring this guy. You're not going to bring Burris in to be the number 4 receiver. He's going to beeline right to the to the third spot there. So I don't know. I've been ruling this out as a possibility, but like I said, the longer he goes unsigned on the free agent market here right now, the more it plays into the Steelers' hands. And really, could you do any worse for having Antonio Brown as your 5th receiver on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, Antonio Brown becomes your punt and kickoff return guy. He's not going to be happy about being the 5th guy, but if they sign him, and it's interesting, all these guys, they spoke to all the receivers and they all made the public statement of sure, we'd welcome them. I'm sure Antonio Brown doesn't want him around.
Well, you know, they're all doing the lip service thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, put our hands in the pile, yah, yah, kumbaya. But yeah, I mean, that Antonio has been working hard off season, you know, working out with Ocho Cinco and all. But you have to wonder, there were times last year, now outside of a couple of big catches, especially the one against the Ravens last year, there were a few times where Antonio, you know, looked kind of sluggish of recognition and all. So, you know, that's the be expected with a rookie. You know, I mean, let's face it there. I think this camp's really important to him. I would have, too bad he's missed some OTA and mini camps due to the lockout, but you very well could have seen a situation here where he's the number five guy on the depth chart. And like I said, you could do worse than that. And the thing about Lima Swede, you mentioned, you know, he was kind of tapped out of that conditioning evaluation, as Mike Tomlin likes to put it, yesterday. So maybe he's not in as good of shape as we thought. And just a side note, Jonathan Dwyer was tapped out and looked real sluggish as well.
If Jonathan Dwyer is not in shape, I would cut him tomorrow. I mean, what the H are you doing coming to camp as a running back not in top form? A guy who's, you know, we're talking about making, you know, $650,000 or whatever he's scheduled to make this year, play in the NFL. This is your chance. If you aren't busting your butt and ready to come into camp, which you know is maybe going to start, you know, August 1st, it's just inexcusable. I have no patience for that. Lima Swede, I'd like to hear more about what the story was. I heard it wasn't a I heard different things that you obviously heard the same and wrote about some of it. So I won't speculate too much on that. But crazy stuff. But if the Steelers signed Plex to get back to that issue, Lima Swede might as well go pack his bags and figure out, you know, where he wants to look next.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It'd be a little, you know, they would recoup a little bit money on that. He'd still be a small dead money hit, but you're going to save a little bit money if he's gone by the time the 53 gets trimmed down. Now, of course, I don't think they're going to cut him until the final cut down, but he's going to be probably gone, especially if Plyce goes back. You can't see him keeping him that unless, you know, you still got Arnez Battle. It comes down to how many guys you're going to keep. Are you going to keep five wide receivers or six wide receivers with one being a special teams ace? And if I want a special teams ace, I want Arnez Battle.
Yeah, it ain't going to be Lima Swede.
Yeah, and back to the finish up, clean up on your Dwyer comments there. We've talked about this, David, how, you know, the guy is looks great with the football. He looks horrible without it. And if you think back to last training camp, you know, there were some rumors floating around that this guy didn't have that kind of look in his eye. You know, there's like take it or leave it football attitude. And let me tell you, these linebacker and running back backers on backs drills coming up here in training camp, that will tell the story real quick. But, this guy, for a guy that's on the bubble right now, not looking good.
I'm officially transferring all my Jonathan Dwyer love, which I had a lot last year, onto John Clay right now. John Clay.
Well, this is another guy, you know, you could just, you know, if Dwyer doesn't, this could be, make the roster. This guy could be a guy. I really still think this guy might be headed to the practice squad. We'll see. Yeah. You know, because let's face it, this guy looks good running through those big holes.
He's got all my shiny new toy love, John Clay.
Yeah, and I'll mark you down for that. I'm not gonna, until I see some game footage. No, I'm not gonna step in that corner of the ring. But I will note that you were in there first.
All right, good stuff. I also loved that kid from LSU last year, who I actually thought might make the roster, and he didn't make the cuts. Is he coming back to? Is he back in camp? Vincent?
Justin Vincent. I thought I heard something about him. Recently an article. I don't know if
I think
he's trying to attempt to come back, but no, he wasn't with the Steelers all last season. So
yeah,
they've washed their hands with him for the most part. I think the curious thing to watch from here on out is if Mawaldi Moore's brought back, because realistically, I think you only have one third down type running back in camp right now, and that's rookie Baron Batch.
Yeah.
You know, you can maybe say Redmond kind of is semi in that role, but outside of Clay and you know, a couple other scrubs that they got in their camp bodies, they're going to have to do something there sooner or later, unless they're convinced that Batch can win that spot, which I hope he does.
I certainly expect him to be a guy on the roster, not on the practice squad. Okay, as we move through, let's take a look. let's take a look at a couple of other guys who have left, officially gone from the Steelers. Matt Spaeth signed with the Chicago Bears. The Bears did a bunch of things with their tight ends, including trading Greg Olsen to Carolina. And Nick Eason, who was always a bubble guy to make the roster, but put in, I think, three or 2.5 very productive years with the Steelers. Kudos again to another veteran guy who just came in and played effectively when asked to.
Yeah, and a good guy too. And like you said, if you remember even back to the beginning of last year, you know, we had lost Hampton to a hamstring injury for a game. You know, you had some shuffling going on in the heat during those early games that you had to do a lot of rotation on that defensive line.
Down in Tennessee, it's 100 degrees. I was down there. So, you know, crazy.
Right, and you got Tampa, you know, on the road in Tampa. Yeah. And also, there were some brutal games, and Eason really held his own. Not once again, not a guy that's going to be, you know, Pro Bowl quality, but he, you know, he lived up to the standard. He held a point. People still weren't able to run that way at him. You know, he didn't get the pressure you'd like to see. You know, maybe, but you know, defensive ends in the Steelers 3-4 scheme is pretty much contained. You know, and hold the point.
Knocked down some passes. Got his big paws up a couple times. I remember.
Yeah, he had I think a sack or two. I forget, but yeah, what a good guy. You knew he wasn't going to be back, and off he goes to Pittsburgh West to be reunited with Ray Horton over there, Steelers former secondary coach, who's now the defensive coordinator over there, and of course Ken Whisenhunt.
So let's talk about the specialists now. We had something we touched on in the last episode, which was season 2 episode 1. If you haven't listened to that, get on that one. Sushi back, Sean Swisham, back signed as the kicker. They've got Swayze Waters in camp as another kicker, but this is obviously his job to lose. I didn't see the numbers on him. I don't know if they've been released yet.
No, 4-year deal is all we know. And boy, I mean, that's a lot of, that's a vote of confidence right there. If you ask me, the guy kicked good in Heinz Field. I think that's the key. You know, that game in Buffalo, last year, against Buffalo, you know, what a big game that was. He pretty much won that with his foot, kind of endeared himself to the teammates and all. You know, the misses in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, you know, that's a long kick. That's hard to make. This is not a guy that's going to be banging him home from 52 or 53 yards all the time, but hopefully we won't be in a situation to do that. You know, I foresee a lot of 42 or 43, hopefully not too many, but, you know, that's the guy's about a 45 to 47-yard range guy. Hard to see him not making the camp right now, but we'll know what his roster bonus is here. His signing bonus is in a few days, and it's going to take an awful camp by him and one hell of a camp by Swayze Waters to beat him out.
Yep, got to think that's the case. Kickers are making a lot of money. I saw David Akers left Philadelphia, gone to San Francisco, so Nedney's out there. We saw Alindo Mare has gone to Carolina, and one of the things that the guys at Football Outsiders talk about is, and you know, you and I talk about this a lot, I've been a full fan of having a kickoff specialist. We've got some new rules in the NFL this year. This will be interesting to see. But a guy like Alindo Mare, who can really bomb the ball on kickoffs, is a valuable guy. And we've seen the kid down in Dallas, the USC kicker, Bueller, I think his name is. Those are valuable things. The Steelers obviously don't have anybody in camp to play that role, so that's clearly not a way they're going to go. It looks like this year. But, you know, money for specialists is just going up. And one of those guys who's out there looking for those dollars is Dan Sepulveda, because it looks like clearly he is not going to be back.
Yeah, in fact, he's got a visit scheduled up with Houston, I think, this coming weekend. And Jeremy Kapanos ended up being – I had him listed as under contract still. He ended up being an exclusive rights free agent along with Doug Legursky and Ryan Mundy. All three of those guys have signed their tenders now. So Kapanos, of course, will be back. They also had signed an undrafted free agent when I guess it looked like they probably thought that for sure Sepulveda probably didn't want him back or at least probably thought the number wasn't going to be right. Aaron Bates is the other camp leg out of Michigan State, their 6-foot punter. You know, it's going to be an interesting battle there. Neither of these guys are committed to right now, especially with the just the tender for the minimum on Kapanos. So, you know, both these guys, you could see a totally another different leg come into camp if neither or two of these guys, you know, impress the hell out of anybody.
Yep. I don't think the job as Kapanos is like the kicking job as Sushi's. That's going to be a position battle there. I threw out that David Akers thing and was talking about Nedney. While you were talking, it just dawned on me that that's where Jeff Reed went, because Nedney went on the IR. Do we have any idea where Jeff Reed is right now?
Is that a loaded question?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not dark out yet.
I got a few ideas. He's probably in bed right now, trying to
sleeping
recover.
It off, sleeping it off.
Yeah, I think he was a guy that was kind of a rent-a-kicker there, so I don't know his official contract status. It's hard to believe that he would still be under contract right now with the 49ers, so this is another guy that could be back on the block, and we'll have to watch the waiver wire, see if he shows up.
Okay, and I think we've covered most of the actual moves, the Steelers signings and guys who have left. The Steelers have not signed anybody from another team, as far as I know. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's been nobody, and it's not really surprising. You know, they've attacked their own free agents and not worried about others. And you could see the writing on the wall there. I mean, if guys fit your system and their priorities in your system, you know, that's what you want back. But like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if Max Starks is – if he's – if he indeed is not brought back, which there's some speculation he will be, I could see them go out and get someone, you know, a mid-grade free agent. But, no, there's been nobody else yet.
Okay, and all the rookies are under contract in a camp except for first-round pick Cam Hayward and third-round pick Curtis Brown. We would expect that to be done by the end of the weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah, in fact, Ed Bouchette tweeted out right when we got started on this show that they're getting close to deals on both Hayward and Curtis Brown. So I would expect them under contract in this announcement probably coming at about 6 or 6:30 this afternoon.
Good stuff. Always good to get those guys in camp on time. Okay, so now the big issues here that are going to swirl that aren't roster related are contract related. Lamar Woodley's under the franchise tag. He's making $10 million. I read in the Post Gazette this morning. I thought he handled the question perfectly. He said, "Look, it is what it is. $10 million is a lot of money. I am not going to complain about that. You go out and play football. If injuries happen, if you get injured, you get injured, and you deal with it and go forward." It sounds like he's fine where he is. I'm sure the Steelers will look and consider what they can do to extend him, but it seems like a good situation mentally. The fact that he's content with the 10 he's making, and he'll leave it in his agent's hand. And if they come to an agreement, they come to an agreement.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of wondered if it'd be done by now. Maybe they're not making it a priority right now. You know, we'll kind of know later this afternoon, because you know the waiver wire is going to be full at the 6 p.m. You know, time this afternoon. That's when you're going to have the Taylor deal announced, and Sushi, and all these guys, rookie contracts and all like that. So you know, if it's not announced over the next few days or so, you know, they've got all training camp to do it. But you would think that before August the 4th or whatnot, you know, if they were going to do it, they do it by then. So maybe they're willing to let him ride the whole year on a $10 million franchise tag. You know, I should say that that's not out of the question, but I think we'll have our answers here in the next, you know, couple of weeks.
Okay. And the other guy obviously is Troy. And this is an interesting situation because of his age and his injury history. His playoff performance, I'm sure, is involved in the conversation in Steeler offices. He's in a situation where he's in the last year of his contract. This is when the Steelers generally like to extend guys that they're going to keep around. What are your thoughts on where they sit with Troy?
I've talked to some sources in his camp that aren't really saying anything, to be honest with you. They supposedly there's no negotiations going on yet. That could change. You know, let's face it, Troy just got in town just the other day there. You got to know that they're watched, you know, they saw what happened to Eric Weddle there and that new contract that he just got the other day. So I don't know. You could see if Woodley goes, you know, they go ahead and get Woodley locked up. Then you have to figure Timmons or Polamalu would be next on the list, and whichever one they didn't lock up there, you would think would get the franchise tag next year to buy him a little bit of more time. So I got to be honest with you, I don't have a good feel of which way they're going to go with either Timmons or Polamalu right now. Just can't get a good feel on it. And like you said, you know, the age might be a little bit concerned. Maybe they want to see Troy play, you know, a full season. before they commit, you know, extending him on out. But boy, if this guy ends up not getting resigned, and God forbid would they end his career somewhere else, you talk about an uproar in Steeler Nation.
Yep, no question. That's a delicate PR battle they'd have to handle.
Yeah, they got it. They got to get him done. You just got to know they got to get him done. So I don't know. We'll have to watch and see what happens over the next few weeks here.
So before we talk just briefly about some of the other ongoing activity in the NFL, anything Steeler related that we've missed on here on Friday?
Let's see. Well, you had Aaron Smith supposedly is healthy, you know, and supposedly, according to Mike Parista of DVE, he's going to open up camp as the opening right defensive end. Left defensive end. And what did I put there? Right defensive end. I'm sorry. He's going to open up as the left defensive end. I titled that post wrong.
Okay.
And, he also supposedly, according to Scott Brown, has not been asked to take a pay cut. So, maybe they'll use one of those $1 million credits on him or whatnot. But I think they're pretty committed to him, and I think they're going to give him every opportunity to hold on to his starting roster spot.
Yeah, I was listening to my buddy Joe Bendel on 970 yesterday, and he had Edmund Nelson on. And I haven't been a big fan of listening to Edmund Nelson when he does the local coverage of the Steeler games. But he was fantastic in this interview, and he raved about Ziggy Hood. He said Ziggy Hood may be the strongest guy on the team. The ability for him to play three technique, five technique, to play inside, to do the things that he can do, said very unique. And he even suggested that you may see, maybe Aaron Smith gets the starts, but you're going to see Ziggy Hood on the field a lot.
Yeah, and I think you'll see what we saw last year, that giant rotation, especially on long drives against where they kind of rotate out those ends or whatnot. Let's face it, Casey Hampton, a lot of time teams are in third and long, and also, his snaps are already kind of cut. So, if you have a good five bodies that you can rotate in at the ends there, that's what you're going to see right there. And I'm with you. I thought Ziggy really made some improvements last year in his play and all like that. And he is going to be right on Aaron Smith's heels to start the season. But you could do worse to have Ziggy Hood, first man up off the bench right there at left defensive end. So it bears watching during camp for sure.
Yep, good stuff. Well, let's anything else on the Steeler side of things?
Cameron Hayward just came to an agreement with the Steelers. So his contract's done. So we're waiting now to hear about Curtis Brown. I suspect that'll come along any minute here. One other thing to kind of talk about is the way the Steelers players, James Harrison, Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, and Mendenhall, they all met the media for the first time today. Had to be choreographed by Tomlin. It's a great move to go ahead and on day two after the hustle and bustle's done, get these guys to face the media. Go ahead and get these questions out of the way so they can get going there. And that's what happened. Harrison pretty much is, say he's apologized to everybody. The comments he made about Goodell probably weren't smartest things. Kind of vanilla, kind of what you would expect. Hines Ward's going to put it in his lawyer's hands going forward with this DUI. Mendenhall didn't want to talk about the tweet too much. He said for the most part that him and James Harrison are cool, and he didn't take it personally, the comments that were made about him. And Roethlisberger really was just responding to everybody else's action. What a joy that is, that he's not talking about his own issues, just about comments made about him. And he also mentioned, like I said, that he's talked to Plaxico and all, and he's glad that Willie's back. So that bears noting for an item that it happened today.
Okay. And I think just two things that I want to highlight around the league, and we'll talk about more of this as we get further in and we've had a chance to digest all the Steeler news. But two big moves by the Patriots yesterday. They traded for Albert Haynesworth and Chad Ochocinco. Obviously the Patriots are not particularly loved in our area. But one thing you have to credit Bill Belichick for and the Patriots operations is they stockpile these draft picks. They make a lot of draft picks, and then they use stuff that's left over that they've gotten to trade for high-risk, high-reward veterans. And I don't know how the Haynesworth thing will work out. I think he, you know, there's a chance he doesn't even make the roster, but there's a chance he's a Pro Bowl player. I think that I got to think the Chad Ochocinco thing is probably going to work out pretty well for them.
I tell you, if you didn't hate the Patriots before today,
exactly,
you got to hate them now. You know, Ochocinco doesn't scare me too much, especially when we play him. Ike has done a good job, had his number over the years and all. I don't know. Is that just another body for him over there? They're going to have to watch this guy's attitude. I suspect the tweeting will stop and all like that. You know, that kind of nonsense. But, yeah, it's a good sign for him. You know, Chad gets out of Cincinnati. But let me tell you, Belichick ain't going to put up with this crap over there. And Albert Haynesworth, oh, what a waste this guy is, man. Like I said, you couldn't pick two other people to root against, in my opinion. I mean, Chad's funny and all like that, but, you know, all those years on the Bengals uniform, you grow to hate him and all. But, man, I tell you, Belichick's not opposed to bringing in kind of players like that.
And Cincinnati's going to have a tough season this year. Carson Palmer is placed on the inactive retired list. I don't think either side's going to blink there. So it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. The other move that I think jumped out at me was the Reggie Bush move to Miami. It sounded to me that he didn't want to do this unless he was going to be the feature back. So they end up getting him, and now it's come out that he's only going to touch the ball 10 to 12 times a game, which is probably how you should use him. I just don't understand why people are so enamored of him if the guy is only going to touch the ball 10 or 12 times a game.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I mean, the Bengals are going to look, you know, they're going to look rough this year. I mean, let's face it, they're secondary. They lost Jonathan Joseph. It doesn't look like there's anything coming in behind that right now. What a mess. And they've still got some cap room to fill and all too. So that's definitely, hey, couldn't help it happen to a nicer team if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave, well, let's wrap it up here. We're going to come back no later than Monday with another episode. The Steelers put the pads on for the first time on Sunday. We'll have a good sense here after three practices of what's going on, how guys, their early returns on guys' physical health, what's going on with that. Anything before we sign off?
No, I think it's got it. You know, watch this podcast will probably be up later today, and watch that waiver wire real close. And remember that a lot of these guys are not able to practice, you know, until these contracts are done and official, you know, August 4th. So don't freak out if you read a tweet that somebody's starting at a certain position there. So and always, you know, follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David at Hammer Speaks. And check out SteelersDepot.com as well. I invite you to, and we appreciate everybody's support too. We've been getting a lot of good feedback about the show, and as football season's here, it's time to be excited again.
Yeah, and Dave's doing some fantastic work. I want to reiterate SteelersDepot.com is your first and really probably your only stop for the best Steeler information on the latest news and what's going on. So, Dave, I will speak for everybody, and we do appreciate all your hard work. Great stuff. That's in the can. Season 2, Episode 2, the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.